Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. Good to see you all back. Those that have had their holiday and those that have still to have their holiday, well, you have a nice time when you do go. And it's good to welcome others from Kirsteers and Carnwath that have joined us today. Just a few intimations before we get underway. Some of the clubs are now back. Knit and Natter is on in Forth Monday morning, 10 o'clock. And also in Kirsteers, 1 to 4 at Kirsteers Community Centre. Bible study, 7 p.m. on Monday evenings. Is it starting this Monday? 17th. Next Monday night for that. Our mainly music for our parents and toddlers is a week on Tuesday. It starts the 18th. And we'll let you know about where it's going to be. There may be a change to that. We're going to be getting work done in the large hall floor, so I don't know the start date, but we'll let you know next week about that. And Tuesday also a prayer and praise evening, 7 p.m. online with Kirsteers, but the details of that are on your ordinary service. You can just join that at any point. The fun day. As you know, I said last week we're having this fun day for everybody, just to get to know each other, kids, adults, everybody all together. So if possible, we would really like a good attendance. There's tickets on sale at the back for £1, and it's only a token payment, so we know the kind of numbers that's going to attend. It's in Ravenstruther Hall. And as I say, the details are on your ordinary service, but if you'd like a ticket, we've got them at the back, or they'll be in Carnwath or Kirsteers next week if you want to pick one up. Our prayer box is at the back of the church for anyone looking for prayer. And also, Jigsaw isn't back until the 23rd and 4th, and the Ukraine appeal for the cans and the candles is back on. So if anybody does have anything, if you could, that you don't know, candles that you're not using or empty tins, if you bring them along and we'll get them passed over. And just one change to your order, the final hymn number on your ordinary service is actually, it should be 502. It's correct up on the board, but the words will be up on the screen anyway. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Good morning. Can you hear me okay? Am I too loud? No, I'm okay? Good. How are we all? I hope you enjoyed your summer. So we are almost back to normal. I'm on my winter jacket back. So, yes. But it's lovely, I think, the rain as well. It was too dry, I believe, for some people. But England is going to hit with the heat wave again, and that's the fifth one for them, you know. So thank God for that. And thank God that we are not roasting here. I don't know if we want it or not. Well, I was on NC500, as you know. We tried to do the whole thing. It was a lovely time. I think it was raining here, but it was dry up there. And it was raining in the night, but day was dry. Why it was staying in the night? Because I stayed in a tent for a few days. Though we were traveling with a motorhome, but I was still sleeping in my tent just for an experience. It was lovely. But I would like to share my incident with you. We were at Dunnet Head, and I don't know if you know Dunnet Head or not, but it was very high point. We were almost at the beach, and it was a big cliff for 100 foot or something. And I decided to sleep outside in my tent with my boy, with my mattress. And we were too close to, I think, the cliff. But I set up my tent around 8 o'clock, so it is day, and I know what I'm doing, because this was a new tent for me. So I set up everything and put my mattress and sleeping bag and everything. And then around 11 o'clock, we go to sleep, me and Elijah, my wee one. And then we prayed and everything, and I tucked him in the sleeping bag and all good. And then 5 minutes later, when I'm half asleep, he said, "Dad, I'm scared. It seems like we're too close to the cliff." And I said, "You should have told me before when we came here, when we came in." He said, "Well, I know, but I'm really scared." And I said, "Okay." So I closed up my tent, and then me and him will lift up everything from there to, say, 15, 20 meters up you know, so we can stay there. And then he felt secure. And to be honest, I was a little scared as well, you know, because we were too close and we were about to slip. Because if we slip, we go 100 feet, 150 feet down, and that will be straight in the sea, you know. But it was lovely, and it was a great experience. We woke up in the morning, it was beautiful sunrise and everything. But it was scary. But it was a beautiful time we had there. And then I thought, when I came back, I said, what can I preach to you today, which will connect what I've experienced at that point or NC 500? As you know, we were doing from anti-clockwise, and there were so many beaches and fall and all that. So I came back and I opened the lectionary, and the lectionary was that Jesus walked on the water. On Matthew 14, where Jesus was away feeding 5,000, then he went away to pray, and then he came back in the middle of the night when there was storm. The boat of disciples were battered by the wind, and they were in that storm, and then they saw somebody walking towards them, and they thought it's a ghost. They were frightened, but then Jesus said, "Take heart, it's me. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said, "Lord, can I come out and walk with you, walk on this water?" And Jesus said, "Yes." But then as soon as his eyes were on Jesus, good. And as soon as he took off his eyes on Jesus, he was sinking. And immediately, Jesus picked up his hand and lifted him up. And that story, which I read and maybe preached so many times, and I don't know if I can preach something new to you, but I'll try my best. That's what God spoke to me whole week with that passage. And I would like to share something with you as well. So take a moment of silence and prepare yourself to worship your God. Come, people of God, for the Lord who walks upon the waves is here. He speaks into our fears and says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." He meets us in the storm before he calms it. And his presence is our peace. So let us lift your eyes. Study our hearts. And worship the one who is stronger than every wind and every wave. And worship him in truth and in spirit. Amen. Amen. Dear all, may I please request you all stand and sing our first hymn, 160, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven."
seated.
Can you please join our hearts in prayer again? Most loving and gracious God, the God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and the earth, the Creator of time, the one who has no ending, the one who has no beginning. Lord, in the name of Christ Jesus, we gather in your holy sanctuary. We gather before you and we ask for your holy presence to study us this morning and empower us to do your will. Lord, we know you are the God whose glory fills heaven and the earth. The one who fills us with his glory in our hearts, in our families, in the places we work, in the places we go. And Lord, for that reason, we adore you for your majesty, for your mercy, and for your unfailing love. The love who never let us fail. The love who will always bind us together. The love which unites us when we cannot unite ourselves. Lord, would you please breathe your Spirit, your Holy Spirit upon us now. And fill us when we feel empty, when we feel lost. Would you please gather us and fill this moment with your life, the life of abundance, and make this time a holy time, a holy offering that is pleasing in your sight. Lord, we believe that you alone are worthy of all our praises, and that's the reason we gather to give you thanks and give you all the glory, give you all the praises, and we lift our hearts to honor your wonderful name. Merciful Father, we confess that we have not always walked in your ways. We try to, but we fail because we are not enough. We have trusted our own strength so often. We have allowed fears to shape our choices. And we have forgotten the one who calls us and say, take heart. Take heart, my child. Forgive us for every word, Father, for the thoughts and action that has fallen short of your goodness and our calling. Lord, would you please this morning cleanse us by your grace? And would you please renew our minds by your truth, by your word? And would you please restore us? Restore us, Father, for the joy of your salvation. The joy we receive when you called us your own, when you died on the cross for our salvation. Lord, please make us a people who seek your will and who will always delight in your commands. Now, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your patience, for your kindness that meet us in our weakness, for your faithfulness that never let us go. And thank you for our Christ Jesus, whose presence calms our storms and whose hands lift us when we are about to sink. Lord, thank you for your church, Kanwat, Castells, and Forth, for the fellowship of your believers, of your people, and for every mercy you have poured into our lives. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift, and we receive them with grateful heart this morning. Lord, breathe into us this day, and fill us with your life and your light that we may carry your hope to all whom we meet, not only this church, but everywhere we go. Make our worship sincere, our devotion very true, and our lives a testimony to your everlasting glory. Now, Lord, we join our hearts in Jesus' name. And we also join our hearts in the prayer you taught your disciples to pray together as a family and say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. May I please request Jim to come forward to the reading, Romans chapter 10, verses 5 to 15, and then Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33.
Romans 10, verses 5 to 15. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Our second reading is from Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. Jesus walks on water. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim, for the reading. Both readings are very important. Roman 10 is based on when I always say that we are saved by grace alone. When you confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, you are saved. That's what it is. The two verses strike me when I was reading both of the passage. Is Roman 10, 13. It says, everyone who claims the name of the Christ Jesus will be saved. Everyone who claims that. And second, when we are reading Matthew, Jesus said to Peter, "You, O little faith, why do you doubt?" And these two verses were very, they just highlighted in front of my eyes when I was reading this for a whole week. This is what I do when I try to prepare my sermon. I go and read them again and again. And these two verses were very important for me. Everyone who call upon the name of Christ will be saved. And oh, you little faith, why do you doubt? See, when I was in Dunnet Head, and again sleeping in this small tent with my boy, I was a little scared too, because we are too close to that cliff. See, when you are outside of the cliff, when you are outside of the ocean, the winds were battering, the waves are battering, and that sound sounds so beautiful to you, isn't it? When you are, think about it, if you're in a cliff, you're sleeping there, you're on the shore, when the waves come near to you, it's look beautiful. It sound beautiful. But when you are in the storm, it's totally different. When these fishermen, when they were in the storm, the wind was battering this boat, they were scared. When I was in that tent, far away from that wind, from that water, I was comforted. And then I was sleeping in this wee space. And I prayed God. I said, God, thank you giving me this opportunity that I can enjoy this beauty and I'm safe here. But then I thought, there are so many people who are sometime in this confined space where they have nowhere to go. And I was trying to find something which happened in the history where people in the confined space fighting for their life. In 2010, if you know, there was a problem in the Chile. There were miners were standing, they were stuck in this mining, in the mine. You know how many days they were stuck? There were 33 of them. They were there under the earth, almost half a mile down there, for 69 days. For 17 days, nobody even knew that they were alive. But somehow, they had a wee slip come up to them, and they found out that they were alive. And then the engineers and everybody started to work to dig and to find. They can send a capsule. You know, they were trying to big hole that they can send a capsule to them. And at 69 days later, one by one, they came up. They come back to their family on the earth. One of the miners gave a statement. He said, you know what, keeping us alive? It was dark, it was dingy, it was wet, and we were really scared. We're out of food, water, and we're scared of our life, but there's one thing which was keeping us alive. And that hope was that somebody is coming for us. Somebody is coming to rescue us. Somebody is there, out there, who is coming to rescue us. And that hope was keeping us alive. Isn't that beautiful? That they were waiting. They had faith that someone will come and rescue them. And 69 days later, somebody rescued them. Aren't we in the same place? Now you might think you are free. You are free to do anything. You are not in the prison. You are not in the confined state. You are not in the storm. We are, my dear friends. We are in a place which is challenge us, troubles us, doesn't give us rest. There are a lot of winds are battering us. The storms comes and goes in our life, and we are battered by all of them, and we are scared. And we believe that somebody will come and rescue us. Let me assure you that Jesus Christ is there to come and rescue one day. Why? Let me tell you a story. There was a man who was a soldier, and he fought many wars, and have so many medals on his chest as well. And he wanted to see President, American President, one day. And he came to the White House and sent his petition, I want to see the President. No. One day, 2 day, week, month, 3 months. For 3 months, he kept trying and trying and trying and trying to see the President. Couldn't see him. He's President. You can't see. Even if you're not, even if you are ordinary man or extraordinary man, it's difficult to see the President. Anywho, he said, I'm not going to give up. He sat outside the White House. He sat there for 3 days. Fourth day, a boy came. And he said, "Excuse me, sir, why are you crying? Why are you on the floor?" He said, "For 4 days I'm lying here without food, without any shelter, because I want to see the president." He said, "You're right. It's so difficult to meet the president, isn't it?" He said, "Yes, tell me about it. I'm trying for the last 3 months." He said, "Don't worry." He held his hand and started walking inside the White House. First, the guardhouse, past the garden, the lawn, the foyer, and then he came to the office, opened the door, Abraham Lincoln sitting there as a president. And he walked this soldier's hand and he brought it to him and said, "Dad, this man wants to see you. This man wants to speak to you." You know why he has access to him? Why he has access to nobody stop him at the guard? No guard stopped him. Nothing could stop him up till the office. And he has access to this man who was the most powerful man once in the world. Because he is his son. And when he is accompanying somebody, when he is holding someone's hand and taking him to that office, no one can stop that boy. Because he has access to this. Now we are just the common people. We may not be extraordinary men or women here. But we have access to God through what? Through who? Through Jesus Christ. The only thing you need to believe, like Romans 10 says, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, if you believe from your mouth that he is the Son of God, you are saved. Everyone who called upon the name of the Lord, he gives you that access. He holds your hand and say, "Walk with me." Yes, it's difficult to find God. It's difficult to come to the righteousness, the power, the standard of God. But with me, through me, you can. And no matter what mighty pit you are at, what mines you are stuck at, what storm you are going through, what boat you are in, doesn't really matter. But if I hold your hand, I will take you to be with me where I am. John 14. Do we have that hope that somebody is coming for us? If it is the world you depend on, that somebody will come and give you help financially, physically, or whatever way you're looking for, then your hope is going to be battered. And you will be wiped out with that storm. But believe and assurance have in Jesus Christ that he's going to come and rescue us no matter what you're going through. And that's the assurance I would like to share with you through Matthew 14. God bless you all. Can we all stand and sing our next hymn, "Eternal Father, Strong to Save"? Please be seated. I'm going to share something with you which I hope you will all recall when you were young, or maybe when you were old as well, and it must have happened to you as well. There was a stormy night back in India when I was very young, and my father used to work with the government, and at that point we used to live in a high flat which is on third floor, and I used to live in a compound which was quite, we were privileged to have that, and we had a small green place as well, 5 or 10 acres of them, I believe, and it was all, there was wild animal as well, snakes and rabbits and all those stuff. But it was a windy and stormy night, and again, it was thunder, lightning, and then when that happened, normally the electricity board will just switch off the electricity so that, you know, there is nothing wrong, goes with the transformers, and then they prepare for the worst. So when I was a boy, that night, it was stormy, windy, you know, the windows were just rattling, and I could see through the window the thunder, lightning, and everything. I lay awake for hours and hours and couldn't sleep, unfortunately, because it was dark, and I was scared, I was in fear about the monsters and so on, as we all believe. Well, what happened normally, when it happened so many times, but that particular night, when I was so scared, my dad came. My dad came and he sat with me. And I was scared first to see him when he was coming into my room. And then he said, "Don't be afraid. It is me." And he held my hand. And maybe within 3 to 4 minutes, I was snoring. I was asleep. That comfort voice, the comfort of my dad's presence and his touch gave me assurance that now these winds, the storm, the thunder, lightning, this darkness, any monster cannot do anything to me. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah? So many times. Maybe not in your home, somewhere, wherever you are, it happens. And now when I grew up, Matthew 14 tells me there is a greater voice. There is much greater voice speaking into my darkness, speaking into my storm and saying, "Do not be afraid. Take heart. It is I." If you go back to the reading, Jesus just fed 5,000 people with the boys' lunch. 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Then he sent his disciples ahead of him and a boat while he goes up to the mountain alone to pray. He must have needed that. And by the 4th watch of the night, the boat is far from the land, battered by the waves and the winds are against them. These men were fishermen, my dear friends. Fishermen. They knew this lake. They grew up there. They almost go there every day, every night, and they come back. They lived on that lake, on that sea, and they were still afraid. Think about it, how bad that storm would be, how bad the winds and the lightning would have been, that even the fishermen in their boat were scared. Well, many of us go through those fears, isn't it? Many of us go through those storms. You have weathered storm that came without warning so many times. Illness, grief, family strains, financial pressures, loneliness. Maybe for our congregation, change of our setting, change of the things we do, change of your church, change of your seats maybe. Somebody else came to sat on your seat. Change. Change in the world. Our older generation say they were living in the best time. Even I start to say that now. My time was better, right? Don't we say that? The time is changing and changing for the worse, I always say. World is changing for the worse. You know what is to row against a wind that will not let up, my dear friend. You know what is to feel far from the land. And I'm not saying physically, but sometimes mentally, you are far from your comfort, from your land. The disciples were not weak men, my dear friend. They were not cowards. They were not. They were simply mere humans. And that's who we are. And the storm at that point was real. So is their fear. So is whatever they were going through. So is our lives. We have so many storms go in our lives, and we are battered by all those winds and storms, and we get scared. You know why? Because we are mere human. We are not superhuman. And then the disciples see a figure walking towards them on the water, and they cry out. Obviously, they will cry out. If somebody walking on the water in that darkness, in that night, in that stormy night, you will obviously see that person, and you say, "Ghost." And that's what they said. Disciples say, "It's a ghost." They scream out in terror. But then they heard a comforting voice, a very familiar voice of their brother, of their savior, of their rabbi, their teacher. He said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus said this so many times, and the Bible tells this so many times. Every time the angels comes and said, "Do not be afraid," isn't it? Jesus is speaking this in our lives and said, "Do not be afraid, take heart, it is I." Now, why this is important that Jesus was walking on this water? Was it a stunt? Is it a magical trick? Was he showing off that I can walk on the water? No. Jesus never did miracle just to show off that he's the Son of God. He is always a reason. If you go back in the Old Testament, only one person ever walks on the sea. Not Moses, not Elijah, not any angels, my dear friend, but Lord himself. Job 9:8 says, "The Lord who alone tramples the waves of the sea." It's only the Lord who can do that. And Psalm 77:19 says, "Your ways through the sea, yet your fingerprints were unseen, my dear Lord." It's only Lord has the authority. Walking on the sea is not a magic trick for Jesus Christ, my dear friend. It is a divine signature done by Jesus Christ. In Scripture, the sea represent chaos, everything that threatens to destroy us. That's what Jesus is speaking to. And only God has the authority. God has the power over it. So when Jesus walked out onto the water, he's not performing a stunt. He's not saying, "This water obeys me. These mountains, these waves obey me." Yes, they obviously obey because he's the Son of God, but he's not performing a stunt. He's revealing his identity. The Lord God you are talking about in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that's who I am. That's what he's saying. And then he says very familiar words. In Greek, it's called ego eimi. You know what ego eimi means in Greek? Exactly. I am. You know what is the name of God? Can somebody tell me? You will say God. God is actually a title, like Lord. What is the name of God? Sorry? Yes, I am. What is the name? Can anyone tell me about any other name?
Yahweh.
Yahweh. Yahweh means I am. Now, a lot of religion will tell you and argue that Jesus Christ, when they question Jesus' divinity, they will say, "Jesus never claimed to be God. Why do you worship him?" Here it is. Jesus used the same name God used for himself when he spoke to Moses. "Moses, I am who I am. I am Yahweh. I am the one who created everything. In the beginning, God created the time, the heaven, and the earth." He is the God who is speaking through Jesus, in Jesus, and he is God when he said, "Ego eimi." I am the very name God gave to Moses in the burning bush. The God who speak the universe into being, my dear friend, who set boundaries the ocean cannot cross, has walked into the storm to stand beside his disciple, and he still does that to you and to me as well when you follow him. I've heard so many stories, my dear friends, in my lifetime of the nights when we sat beside a hospital bed or waited for a phone call or lay awake wondering how you would face tomorrow. So many times it happened. You didn't see Jesus walking physically towards you. I know that. I've never seen him walking towards me. But you felt something. We feel something unexpected, unexpected peace, our words remembered, just come into your memory like Psalm 23, our prayer just whispered, our presence you cannot explain in anything. That was God. That was Him walking towards you in your storm, my friend. The same Christ who walked on the waves into your storm now. That's what He's doing. And saying, Ego eimi. Now Peter answered Him, Lord, if it is You, command me to come to the water. Fine. Jesus said, come. And Peter walks for a few steps. An ordinary fisherman does what God only can do. Now you will question, there are so many people, even the disciples sitting on the boat must be thinking, you stupid Peter, why are you doing that? Why you want to jump on the water and want to sink, isn't it? So many of us will say that. I would say that at one point as well. Why, Peter? Why you want to show up and start walking on the water? But think about it. At least he has a courage to walk on the water. Courage to step out of the boat. How many of us are sitting in the boat? Scared. We don't want to come out of the boat. At least Peter did. And then we blame Peter to take that courage to walk on the water with the Lord. Remember, an ordinary fisherman does what only God can do. But with God's permission, he can walk on the water. But then he noticed the wind. As his eyes off the Jesus Christ, what happened? The fear rises and he sinks. And that's what happened in our life. And then he cries out, Lord, please save me. Matthew tells us that Jesus immediately, before he could sink, he held his hand and pulled him out. Immediately he reached out his hand and caught him. Why this word is important? Immediately. Immediately, not after Peter proved himself to be worthy to be saved, to be savable. Was he savable? I don't know. Was he high and very strong faith? No, he was not. He wasn't at his lowest faith, I believe, at that point. He wasn't savable because he took his eyes off from Jesus. He still saved him. Not after he found more faith. No. The moment he cried out, Christ's hand was already there. God, please save me. I'm sinking. And God saved him immediately. This is the gospel in miniature, my dear friend. Peter was not saved by walking well. No, he didn't. He was saved when he stopped trusting his own step and called on the one who could save him because he was already walking on the water. That's the Lord we follow. That's the God we follow who is already walking on the water. And when you started to sink, as soon as you cried out, remember Romans 10, 13, everyone who calls out, are we calling out to him? And it's still the same true for us, my dear friend. We are not saved by our own strength, our own goodness, our own righteous efforts, our own ability to stay afloat. We are saved by Christ's hand, not by our own. Thank God for that. Now, some of us have carried the guilt for years and years. Think we have wished that we could have done differently. Storm, we think that we should have handled it differently. But salvation was never dependent on your grip, my friend. Grip on Christ. No, it was never. It has always depended on God's, Jesus' grip on you. Because you can lose your grip, He will never. And His grip does not slip. Never. Have you noticed something very important here? Very interesting in this scripture passage which we read for you as well. When Jesus and Peter climb into the boat, the wind ceases. Why it is important? Not because the disciples were brave suddenly. Not because Peter walked well on the water. No, it is. It is not. But when Jesus was in the boat. When Jesus was in the boat. The storm did not stop when Peter stepped out, my dear friend. The storm did not stop when Peter sank. No, it was not. The storm stopped when Jesus got into the boat. He was there. His presence was there. But the storm was still there. When Jesus came into the boat, the wind ceased. Now, this is the assurance. This is the assurance of every believer, every follower of Jesus Christ, that Christ does not calm the storm from a distance, my dear friend. He claims it from within the boat. Now, so many of us who proclaim that they are Christian, they are fan of Jesus Christ. I'll maybe share one bit more in more length. You could be the fan of Jesus Christ, but not a follower of him. Now, fan don't have to mirror the celebrity. You can be a fan of anyone. You could be a fan of a celebrity or an actor or a leader or a professor or a guitarist or a musician. You could be a fan for them. Don't have to be leader. You don't have to follow them. So many of us are Jesus's fan, but not a follower. So if you think that you will calm your storm, he will not, because you are a fan of him. You admire him. So many people admire him. So many other religions admire him too, but they're not followers of Jesus Christ. Unless he's in your boat, you are not his follower. You're not saved, you're not rescued. You will never be saved if he's not in your boat. He comes close, my dear friend. He comes near to his believer. He comes into the place where fear lives. And the disciples respond the only way anyone can when they see Jesus clearly. They worshipped him. They said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Not because of the miracle, but when Jesus was in their boat. Storms do not always produce fear, my dear friend. Sometimes they produce worship. And I believe they should always produce worship. Whenever you go through in your storm, the storm and the suffering and illness and problems come into your life so you can come near to God and worship him. Sometimes the very thing that threatened to undo us become the place where we finally see Christ for who he is. Son of God. Now, this text also comes for a challenge for all of us. Let me share this with you. Listen to this, very important, okay? Some of us spend more time studying the waves than listening to the voice of Christ. You want me to say this again? Some of us spend more time studying the waves than listening to the voice of Christ, don't we? So many times we do that. We measure our future by the size of the wind instead of the strength of the Savior. Sometimes we want to choose our battle with the size of the Goliath. Then the one who equipped us with the 5 stones and say, one is enough. And that is the problem of our believers. We more believe in the wind and the storm and whatever we are going through and the Goliath in our life than believing in the one who stands beside us and behind us and who stand in our boats. We treat prayer like a last resort instead of the first cry. You know what that will do? It will keep you at the gate of the White House. You will never, ever get an access to the president unless you have a boy who will hold your hand and take you in. Peter's mistake was not that he got out of the boat, my dear friend. His mistake was taking his eyes off Jesus and putting them on the wind. Are we the same? Please be assured, my dear friend, whatever storm you are in, and we are all in storm, in some kind of storm, be it your health or family, your finances, your church, leadership, your future, your children, your grandchildren, your job, no matter what it is, your own home. Do not measure it by the size of the waves. No, please don't. Measure it by the nearness of Christ. Do you have Christ in your boat? Then all the storm will be ceased. And if he's not, and if you're looking at it from the far as a fan of him, I'm sorry, you will be always with the spectators. You will never come into arena. And if you have never truly called on him, this is the time. Do it now, not later. You know why? Because the waves and the wind, they do not wait. They will blow you and take you away with them. You may not never get a chance again to do that. Be assured, my friend, that our assurance is simple and is strong, that Jesus comes to his disciple in the storm, not after it. He walks through the very waters that terrifies us on purpose to reach us. He does not wait for the daylight, my dear friend. He does not wait for the calm. He does not wait for you to be strong. He just wants you to be faithful. He comes, say to you, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't give him chance to say, oh, you little faith. And when he gets into the boat, the wind will cease. Not because you're brave, not because you walk well, but Christ Jesus is present in your boat. So whatever your storm today, hear the voice that calms my fear when I was a boy. Only greater, older, are truer now. Take heart, it is I, ego eimi. Do not be afraid. Call on his name and you will be saved. God bless you all. Can we now stand again and sing our next hymn, O Breath of Life, Come Sweeping Through Us. And after that, may I please request Laura Jane to come forward for the prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we join our hearts together as we pray for the world, for the nations torn apart by conflict, for the leaders and those who are suffering. We join our hearts together as we pray for the church, for those who are called to serve in your ministry, and for those who come faithfully. We join our hearts together as we pray for our friends and family, for our loved ones near and far. We join our hearts together as we pray for those who are sick in our community and need your healing hand. Please come and bless them in mind, body and spirit. We join our hearts together as we pray for those who don't yet know you. For the people we are praying will hear your word and come to see you, know you and love you, as we see, know and love you. Your kingdom come, your will be done, yesterday, today and always. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Roger.
Once again, can we stand and sing our closing hymn, Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be. Remain standing while we pray for our offering. Father of grace and power, your Son Jesus gives victory over life's most violent storms. Lord, we pray now to bless us and strengthen our faith as we commit ourselves to the path you have called us upon. Accept our gifts in this plates and in many other ways we share with you, our time, our talent, our treasure, and bear us up before you and before all to whom you send us, Father, so that everlasting praise and glory may be ascribed to you. Through Jesus Christ, our most excellent name, we pray. Amen. Let's receive the blessing of God. May the Lord, who walks upon the waves, steady your hearts and strengthen your steps. May his grace surround you, his peace calm every storm, and his spirit guide you in all your ways. Go now in the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and rest in Christ's words when he said to you, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you very much once again, everybody, for joining the worship. I hope I've shared something which may restore you and give you assurance that Christ is our Lord, the one who walks in our storm. He don't wait for the daylight when the darkness is over, when the storm is calm. He comes in right time when we need. God is never late, God is never early. He's always on time whenever we go through storms. And we all go through storms. It never stops sometimes. But remember, if Jesus is in your boat, that is the key, that is the secret. If he is in the boat, he will seize the every battering wave which will torment you, which will bother you. Trust in him, and he will take you to the president of this world, of this universe, to his Father by holding your hand. Because he's the only one who have the access. God bless you all. Thank you.